U.S. Senator Bob Casey. Welcome, Senator, to On the Mark.
Hey, Mark, great to be with you. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mark Lawrence. You just heard that was Ben Reichle introduced you. Bob Casey, are you a senator, Democrat?
Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. And he's been very, very hard at work. Let's start out talking about your hearing yesterday. You're talking about the Nursing Home COVID-19 Protection and Prevention Act, and you had a hearing about that yesterday. So please tell us about this. Nursing homes, of course, a big concern.
Well, first and foremost, I think at a, you know, at a time like this when we're living through and fighting through a pandemic, we've got to be very focused on the people who are most vulnerable, the most at risk. And that is obviously older citizens. And as someone who just turned 60 in April, I'm getting real close to that. and I think that has to be a focus. When you consider older citizens who happen to be in a long-term care setting, and that's usually most of them, most you'd say would be in nursing homes, they're among the most vulnerable because of their age, often because of their, just by virtue of the fact they're in a nursing home, they're getting skilled care, which means they're even more at risk with the virus. And then they're also in congregate settings, they're close together. And then on top of all that, there are people coming in and out from the community who might contract the virus outside the nursing home and bring it in, and that's why families haven't been able to come into these facilities. So the combination of factors are particularly threatening to folks who live in nursing homes. And these are the people that fought our wars and worked in our factories and taught our children and built the greatest economic engine and middle class that any group of people have ever experienced probably in human history. So we owe them the best care generally, but especially when there's a virus that's ravaging these nursing homes. So it's obvious, you know, in so many ways this is everyone's worst nightmare, having a virus invading a nursing home. And so and one of the most telling things about the data so far that was released recently is the fact that even nursing homes that have a really good track record have often as many cases or as many deaths as the nursing home a couple miles away that's had persistent problems. So that gives you an indication of the power of the virus, and we have to have a policy that responds to that. So one of the things I was highlighting in the hearing yesterday, the aging committee hearing, was a bill that I've introduced to put more dollars into what works. I mean, we don't want to just spend money to spend money. We want to spend money on what works. And we know exactly what works when it comes to dealing with nursing homes in this pandemic. So I would my bill would add $20 billion in emergency funds so that we can support nursing homes, intermediate care facilities, and psychiatric hospitals. They're the three kind of categories of long-term care. We'd help them with what's called cohorting, where you separate the nursing home resident with COVID-19 from the nursing home resident who does not have it. Cohorting works. It stands to reason. It's like the ultimate social distancing. You separate. But in order to do that, it costs money. That nursing home might need to build something, they might need to construct something, and we can't just say do this nursing homes or else. We got to help them. That's why you need the dollars. The other thing that the $20 billion would go for is more staffing, more testing, more personal protective equipment, and other essential needs. Now, some states have provided or could provide, many states, if we give them the dollars, could provide nursing homes with technical assistance on implementing infection control protocols or and helping them with the, you know, the immediate crisis. So that's one thing we talked about. And when you consider of the now 90 plus thousand deaths in the country, about a third of them, and that number is growing, are either workers who live in a nursing home or the residents themselves. And that's a harrowing, frightening number.
What are the chances of this getting passed?
Well, that all depends upon our Republican friends. If Democrats control the United States Senate, it's likely this bill would be passed very quickly, probably as part of a larger bill But Senate Republicans have zero interest right now, or at least based upon their actions, seem to have zero interest in any more legislating. So we went the entire, think about this, in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, where we had in March and April, till about mid-April, unanimity, and you never hear that word in the same sentence as U.S. Senate, unanimity on the CARES Act, which was 96-0, and the reason four were missing is because they were in quarantine. So it was a unanimous vote for that, $2.2 trillion, a unanimous vote for the $484 billion that was passed in the interim bill after that, and the two earlier bills, which were much smaller, they were virtually unanimous in the Senate as well. So that has been obliterated now. Now Senate Republicans said, no more policy, no more legislating, no more appropriations on COVID-19. The entire month of May, all we did were nominations. Now we're going into June, when we go back a week from Monday, and I hope they're going to get serious about dealing with nursing homes, dealing with food assistance, helping our workers, extending the time for unemployment insurance or direct checks to individuals, and for Senate Republicans to categorically reject the entire House bill is an insult to people who are out of work. It's an insult to people who are suffering from the disease, and it's an insult to anyone who's got a loved one in a nursing home. So we'll see, but we're going to push very hard and push them to adopt policy that will help people in nursing homes, and oh, by the way, help our state and local governments, because if we don't, every school district in your listening area will have their budget cut if Republicans don't get their act together in Washington, and police officers and firefighters and first responders will be laid off in every local community in the country if local governments and state governments don't have the help they need.
All right, what about the pandemic premium pay for frontline workers? You know, we have understaffing's an ongoing issue at nursing homes and other frontline workers. Pandemic premium pay, is this also stuck then in the situation you described?
Well, there are a couple things that have happened there. A number of weeks ago, might even be a month ago, more than a month ago now, a group of Senate Democrats, I was one of them, five or six of us, I guess, at the time, came up with this idea that we should have pandemic premium pay for frontline workers, and we should call it the Heroes Fund. It should be under our. This is still in the kind of the idea stage, not a bill yet, but that should be a fund that would provide extra money for those who are on the front lines, who put themselves at risk, put their families at risk, and the risk isn't just disease. A debilitating disease, COVID-19, but disease that leads to death, and we're seeing death at a lot of ages. It's mostly older folks, but it's death at a lot of different ages. So, if they're being that heroic, and they're working hours that are almost impossible to keep up with, and they're working without personal protective equipment, which puts them more at risk, they should receive a pandemic premium pay, like we did after World War II, when returning soldiers were given a good benefit, which they deserved, an education benefit, the GI Bill. So that's the idea, to provide help to those frontline workers who are on the battlefield fighting this war, and just add to their hourly pay. So if someone worked 400 hours at X dollars per hour, our idea was to add about $13 to that, and have the federal government pay for that. Now, if it's a huge multinational corporation, I would hope that the corporation would foot some of the bill, because corporations got the biggest tax cut in American history a few years ago. Big multinational corporations can afford to pay their heroic frontline workers more. But that's the idea. Then it goes to then the House actually passed a large bill, this new bill that I was referring to earlier, the so-called Heroes Act. That's the name of a bill that will encompass policy on a whole range of issues, including a separate initiative within the bill to have pandemic premium pay. So now you have a bill that has passed a bill, part of a larger bill that has passed the House. In the Senate, I think we should take it up. Now, will it be exactly what the House passed? I'm sure it won't be. But we have to figure out some way to provide premium pay for frontline workers. Now, I have an additional bill, and I'll end with this. I have an additional bill that focuses just on the healthcare worker category within the larger frontline worker category. That would still be probably millions of people. The frontline category is probably tens of millions. But the healthcare workers, whether they're working in hospitals or nursing homes or personal care homes, and the people that work in the hospital generally, everybody from nurses to janitors, are putting themselves at risk. And we've seen maintenance people and janitors actually die from COVID-19 because they're cleaning the rooms where people were treated. Those folks should get, I think, an education benefit, or allow them to use that benefit to pay for expenses that they have, their family has. That should be more modeled in a very particular way on the GI Bill. So that's a separate bill that I have.
Well, Senator, this has been Reichle. Certainly appreciate all you've done, and also Bob Garrett sends his regards, the president of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, your help throughout the years here, and particularly on our bypass. Again, a lot of work went into that. Question, Congressman Muser talked about negotiations. He was on the show here yesterday, talked about negotiations going on and what can survive the bill. It seems like you talked about some pieces, too. I saw Mitch McConnell talking last night. And I understand that there's money that hasn't been spent or allocated yet exactly from some of the past bills. But one of the things I know that's very important in this valley between Susquehanna and Bucknell University is the higher education monies that you're going to see. So if this next bill does go through, do you see additional money for the education purposes, not only at the state, but the public and private universities?
Yeah, I think we've got to provide help there to educational institutions. I think we also have to provide more dollars for a basic education initiative. Both were addressed in the CARES Act, but I think if you talk to any, virtually any advocate for either local school districts or higher education, and it doesn't really matter what party they're in, I think they would all say the CARES Act was great. We appreciated the help, but it wasn't nearly enough. I mean, they were asking for numbers that far exceeded what was in the CARES Act. So, yes, I think the short answer is yes, we should consider those dollars as well as basic education dollars, because there's just no way that an institution, whether it's a college or university or a school district or a state government or local government, there's no way they can exist and balance their budget and be operational with the revenue hit that they took. It's like a torpedo going into the side of a vessel. There's just no way you can, you know, patch it up and hope to keep the vessel above water. And we have to make sure that that's why something comparable to the House bill is needed. We're not done legislating. We did a lot of good things in the first four bills, right? Four bills, about $3 trillion. That's good. We started to help people who are unemployed. We provided great assistance to small businesses. But there's still a lot of small businesses that weren't getting help because they were left out. There's still unemployed workers who haven't gotten their checks yet. And if that means giving states more money so they can hire more people to process unemployment insurance, we got to do it. Still deficits in what we did on long-term care, on food assistance, on Medicaid. All these major priorities. So that's why we need another big bill. But I'm all for, look, good oversight and making sure that the money is not only spent but spent appropriately. I used to be the Auditor General, so I have a background holding government accountable.
Holding, right. One of our listeners says, what if the HEROES Act helps illegal aliens? That's something they would not support. There certainly is conversation that some of the HEROES Act would in some way support individuals that are not U.S. citizens. Tell us about that.
Well, the most important thing here is helping those who helped us. And that, I mean, there's, we can have debates about who gets what. But meanwhile, there are tens of millions of frontline workers who should get an additional bump on their hourly pay if they worked 1,000 hours or 100 hours or whatever the number is. And that's just a reality. And look, there are some people in our healthcare system, lots of them, excuse me, who are undocumented, who are cleaning those rooms and contracting COVID-19. And if someone is, and a lot of them are working and paying taxes, so we've got to be very thoughtful about making sure there are strict rules, but at the same time making sure the people who did this work get some kind of a benefit. And that's what America's always been about. We've always tried to make sure that those who are sacrificing on behalf of the rest of us are given some help, whether it's someone on a battlefield in a shooting war in Europe in World War II, or whether they're on this battlefield where there aren't bullets flying at their head, but there's a virus flying around their head. And once it hits them, just read some of the accounts of what this disease does to you. You can't breathe. I mean, you can't function. It knocks your legs out, and in some cases knocks you down and then kills you. And we're going to have, I mean, think about it, to have almost 100,000 people dead in 2 months shows you the power of this virus.
Well, Senator, I know your time. We certainly appreciate the time you have. I have a little bit of a lighter note in a box of political information. I have a couple buttons, and you can correct me on them, but I believe it says, one says vote skip, and I thought the other one says I like skip. So going back to referencing your father, who was had the morals and the character that I think a lot of politicians need today, but I sort of have to chuckle when I think back of those buttons.
Well, thanks very much for thinking of them. You know, this May 30th will be 20 years since my father passed away. It's hard to believe it's 20 years ago. It was before 9/11 and before a lot of this. And I often think, what would he be saying in the midst of a pandemic or in the midst of some of the other challenges we've had as a nation? So thanks for thinking of him and remembering his public service.
An additional remark, I know you wanted to say something about Memorial Day and our fallen war dead, so I'll give you an open mic, and that's how we'll wrap up today. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks. And look, it should be that we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. We should be thinking about them every day, not only on Memorial Day, but it is a day to pause and remember and reflect upon those who gave so much. As Lincoln said, those who gave the last full measure of devotion to their country. And we have to remember them, and obviously not only on Veterans Day in November, but every day. We have to think about also what Lincoln reminded us. Him, and I think Lincoln would say today, him or her who shall have borne the battle, those veterans who come back. And that's why this, in this pandemic, this long-term care also extends to veterans' homes and those settings to make sure we're doing everything we can to protect our veterans. So God bless those who served, and we remember those who were lost.
All right, well, thank you so much. I got an
thank
open
you,
mic here anytime. Always so many more questions, but so little time. So come and visit us as soon as that's feasibly possible as we draw through the summer and into the fall. Thank you, Senator Casey.
Thanks again.
Mark, thanks. Thanks, Ben.
I do appreciate that. U.S. Senator Bob Casey, Democrat, and working hard to get the COVID-19 Protection and Prevention Act through. That would be separate than the HEROES Act, which is apparently, as he indicated, somewhat dead in the water.